Appendix B, The Public Ministry of Ellen G. White. In her public ministry, Ellen White effectively made appeals which called for a response. Presented here are accounts of a number of instances that reveal her method of appeal under varying circumstances. At Battle Creek in the early days. Attended meeting at the church at Battle Creek. Spoke to the people about 1 hour with freedom in regard to the fall of Adam bringing misery and death, Christ bringing life and immortality to light through his humiliation and death. Felt to urge upon the people the necessity of entire consecration to God, the sanctification of the entire being, soul, body, and spirit. Spoke upon the death of Moses and the view he had of the promised land of Canaan. There was a depth of feeling in the congregation. In meeting that evening, we called those forward who had a desire to be Christians. 13 came forward. All bore testimony for the Lord. It was a good work. Diary, January 12, 1868. Earnest work in Michigan. Meetings were held all through the day. My husband spoke in forenoon, Brother Andrews in the afternoon. I followed with remarks quite at length, entreating those who had been interested through the meetings to commence from that day to serve God. We called forward those who wished to start in the service of the Lord. Quite a number came forward. I spoke several times, beseeching souls to break the bands of Satan and start then. One mother went to her son and wept and entreated him. He seemed hard, stubborn, and unyielding. I then arose and addressed Brother D, begged him to not stand in the way of his children. He started, then arose, spoke, said he would commence from that day. This was heard with glad hearts by all. Brother D is a precious man. Sister E's husband then arose, testified that he would be a Christian. He is an influential man, a lawyer. His daughter was upon the anxious seat. Anxious seat. At a revival meeting, a seat, usually near the pulpit, occupied by persons concerned about their spiritual condition. Brother D then added his entreaties to ours, Sister D's also to their children. We entreated and at last prevailed. All came forward. The fathers and all the sons and other fathers followed their example. It was a day of gladness. Sister E said it was the happiest day of her life. Diary, February 19, 1868. A good response. I spoke in the afternoon from 2 Peter. I had freedom in talking. After I had spoken 1 hour, I invited those who wished to be Christians to come forward. Between 30 and 40 came forward quietly, without excitement, and occupied the front seats. I spoke with them in regard to making an entire surrender to God. We had a praying season for those who came forward. We had a very precious season of prayer. Those who wished baptism were requested to signify it by rising. Quite a number arose. Diary, June 9, 1873. After some hesitancy, a response. I spoke in the afternoon, at Stanley, Virginia, from John 17, verse 3. The Lord gave me much of His Holy Spirit. The house was full. I called those forward who wished to seek the Lord more earnestly, and for those who wished to give themselves to the Lord a whole sacrifice. For a time, not one made a move. But after a while, many came forward and bore testimonies of confession. We had a precious season of prayer, and all felt broken down, weeping and confessing their sins. Oh, that each may understand. Diary, November 9, 1890. Especially blessed, as she began work in Switzerland. Sabbath and Sunday were precious seasons for those assembled. The Lord especially blessed in speaking Sunday afternoon. All listened with the deepest interest, and at the close of the discourse, an invitation was given for all who desired to be Christians, and all who felt that they had not a living connection with God, to come forward, and we would unite our prayers with theirs for the pardon of sin, and for grace to resist temptation. This was a new experience for many of our brethren in Europe, but they did not hesitate. It seemed that the entire congregation were on their feet, and the best they could do was to be seated, and all seek the Lord together. Here was an entire congregation manifesting their determination to put sin away, and to engage most earnestly in the work of seeking God. After prayer, 115 testimonies were born. Many of these showed a real, genuine experience in the things of God. At Christiana, Oslo, Norway. We spent 2 weeks in Christiania and labored earnestly for the church. The Spirit of the Lord moved me to bear a very plain testimony. At our last meeting especially, I presented before them the necessity of a thorough change in the character if they would be children of God. When they come to worship before the Lord, it should be with subdued and reverent hearts. The house built for His worship is a sacred place, not a place for unholy feelings, malice, fault-finding, and bitterness of spirit. I urged upon them the necessity of deep repentance, confession, and forsaking of the sins which had shut away the sweet Spirit of Christ from the church. We then called for those to come forward who would take a decided position on the Lord's side. Many responded. Some good confessions were made, and earnest testimonies were born. We hope that this move is but the beginning of a decided advance on the part of many members of this church. Backsliders Reclaimed. In Basel, Sabbath, February 19th. I spoke to the people at 9 a.m. The Lord gave me of His Holy Spirit as I presented before them the temptation of Christ in the wilderness. In the afternoon, at 3 o'clock, we assembled for social meeting. I was much blessed as I spoke to them again upon the necessity of our coming up to greater sympathy and more decided contemplation of the great sufferings of Christ. We think of these altogether too little. I requested those who desired prayers to come forward. The seats were quickly filled, and my heart was stirred as I saw the whole congregation on their feet. I said, "Sit down just where you are, and we will all seek the Lord together." Before the season of prayer, many testimonies were given in quick succession and with deep feeling, showing that hearts were touched by the Spirit of the Lord. Confessions were made with tears. We were glad to see this work going forward, for we knew it was just such a work as was needed to bring the people into that position of humbling their hearts and confessing their sins before God, that He would accept their repentance and their efforts to seek Him. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. An outstanding experience in Australia. On Sabbath, May 25th, we had a precious meeting in the hall where our people meet at North Fitzroy. For several days before the meeting, I knew that I was expected to speak in the church on Sabbath, but unfortunately, I had a severe cold and was quite hoarse. I felt inclined to excuse myself from this appointment, but as it was my only opportunity, I said, "I will place myself before the people, and I believe the Lord will answer my earnest prayers and remove the hoarseness so that I can present my message to the people." I presented to my Heavenly Father the promise, "Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For every one that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? Again, Christ says, "Whatsoever ye shall ask in My name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son." The Word of God is sure. I had asked, and I believed that I would be enabled to speak to the people. I selected a portion of Scripture, but when I rose to speak, it was taken from my mind, and I felt impressed to speak from the first chapter of 2 Peter. The Lord gave me special freedom in presenting the value of the grace of God. How much is His grace to be appreciated? The Apostle says, "Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." At the close of my discourse, I felt impressed by the Spirit of God to extend an invitation for all those to come forward who desired to give themselves fully to the Lord. About 30 came forward. Among these were the wives of the brethren, A. two brothers who were church members, but whose wives were not, who for the first time made manifest their desire to come near to God. My heart was filled with unspeakable gratitude because of the movement made by these two women. I could then see why I was so earnestly moved to make this invitation. At first, I had hesitated, wondering if it were best to do so when my son and I were the only ones whom I could see who would give us any help on that occasion. But as though someone had spoken to me, the thought passed through my mind, "Cannot you trust in the Lord?" I said, "I will, Lord." Although my son was much surprised that I should make such a call on this occasion, he was equal to the emergency. I never heard him speak with greater power or deeper feeling than at that time. He called upon brethren Falkhead and Salisbury to come forward, and we knelt in prayer. My son took the lead, and the Lord surely indicted his petition, for he seemed to pray as though in the presence of God. Brethren Falkhead and Salisbury also presented fervent petitions, and then the Lord gave me a voice to pray. I remembered the sisters A, who, for the first time, were taking a public stand for the truth. The Holy Spirit was in the meeting, and many were stirred by its deep movings. At the close of the meeting, many pressed their way to the platform, and taking me by the hand, requested me with tears in their eyes to pray for them. I answered heartily, "I will." The sisters A were introduced to me, and I found that their hearts were very tender. The mother of one of the sisters who has now taken her position on the truth has been a most bitter opposer, and has threatened that if her daughter did become a Sabbath keeper, she would not allow her to enter her home, for the mother would look upon her as a disgrace to the family. Mrs. A had often made the statement that she would never join the Seventh-day Adventists. She had been brought up in the Presbyterian Church, and had been educated to think that it was very improper for women to speak in meeting, and that for a woman to preach was altogether beyond the bounds of propriety. She enjoyed hearing Elders Daniels and Corliss, and thought them very clever speakers, but she would not listen to a woman's preaching. Her husband had prayed that God would so arrange matters that she might be converted under the ministry of Sister White. When I made the appeal and urged those to come forward who felt their need of drawing nearer to God, to the surprise of all, these sisters came forward. The sister who had lost her little one said that she was determined that she would not move forward, but the Spirit of the Lord so forcibly impressed her mind that she dared not refuse. I feel so grateful to my Heavenly Father for His loving kindness in bringing these two precious souls to unite with their husbands in obeying the truth. The Lord would be pleased to see a similar work done in every church. Sabbath, November 10th. I visited San Francisco and spoke to a church full of people who had ears to hear and hearts to understand. They seemed to be hungry for the word of the Lord, and I believe they heard to a purpose. As I spoke the word of life in plain, simple language, I knew that Christ was with us, softening and subduing hearts. The Holy Spirit was evidently at work. Oh, how my heart yearned for the precious souls whom I was inviting to look and live! After I had finished speaking, Elder Corliss invited all who wished to give themselves to Jesus to come forward. There was a quick and happy response, and I was told that nearly 200 persons came forward. Men and women, youth and children, pressed into the front seats. The Lord would be pleased to have a work similar to this done in every church. Many could not come forward because the house was so crowded, yet the animated countenances and tearful eyes testified to the determination, "I will be on the Lord's side. From this time, I will seek earnestly to reach a higher standard." Response at General Conference Session of 1909. My brethren and sisters, seek the Lord while He may be found. There is a time coming when those who have wasted their time and opportunities will wish they had sought Him. He wants you to keep in the line of reason and in the line of labor. He wants you to go forth to our churches to labor earnestly for Him. He wants you to institute meetings for those outside of the churches, that they may learn the truths of this last message of warning. There are places where you will be gladly received, where souls will thank you for coming to their help. May the Lord help you to take hold of this work as you have never yet taken hold of it. Will you do this? Will you here rise to your feet and testify that you will make God your trust and your helper. I thank thee, Lord God of Israel. Accept this pledge of this thy people. Put thy spirit upon them. Let thy glory be seen in them. As they shall speak the word of truth, let us see the salvation of God. Amen.